reading to you from the 8th chapter of the book of John, and with the 31st verse. Jesus therefore was saying to him, to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Oh, I've been having such great time in witnessing lately. God opens the door. See, I'm no big shot. I'm no different than anybody else. But boy, God sure puts me in touch with alcoholics. Well, this one guy's name is Tommy. I'm trying to reach him before they send him away to a rehab center. He needs Jesus. He don't need rehab. Jesus will rehab him. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea, or, hey, maybe a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? We've labeled this message tonight, The Wrath of God. And I'm going to read a verse of scripture found over here in Job. Let's see, where's you at, Job? Job 36:18, it says, "Beware lest wrath entice you to scoffing, and do not let the greatness of the ransom turn you aside." And also I'd like to read to you from Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Then I'd like to read Romans 2:5. "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the days of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Listen, there are two subjects that we do not do justice. First of all, God's love is beyond our knowledge. Yes, it is. And God's wrath is beyond our comprehension. Well, let me ask you this. Is it right for preachers to preach about God's wrath? Well, let me ask you this. Is it right to warn people to flee a burning building? Is it right to point out the warning signs of a deadly disease? We are obligated to warn about these real dangers. Well, what can we know about the wrath of God? Well, let's see. It says right back over here. I'm going to read to you one more time. Job 36:18. "Beware lest wrath entice you to scoffing, and do not let the greatness of the ransom turn you aside." Well, let me ask this. The Bible declares that the wrath of God is real. It's not a trumped-up thing that's preachers. You know, I've been preaching for 54 years of the 55 I've been a Christian. And I want you to know, I always warn people about the wrath of God. I warn homosexuals. I warn drunkards and lesbians and sinners of all kinds to flee from the wrath of God. Now, I would rather, oh, beloved, I'd rather sit here tonight and say, I want to talk to you about the love of God, because that's my favorite subject. John 3:16 is my favorite. That's what the Holy Spirit used on me the morning I was saved. "For God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God used on me to turn me to God. Well, the Psalms offer many references to God's wrath, and then they, shall we, speak in their wrath. Listen, it says in Psalms 2:5, then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. Well, the Lord shall swallow them up in wrath. And I read in Psalm 31:9, you will make them as a fiery oven in the tune of your anger. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will devour them. That's something to think about. Oh, yes, it is. Now, the wrath of God came upon them in Psalm 78. The anger of God rose against them and killed some of the stoutest ones and subdued the choice men of Israel. Oh, dear friends, God's heart has been broken so many times over the nation of Israel. They're his chosen people. Our present administration is trying to turn against Israel, and that's a mistake. Oh, that's a big mistake. Did you know that my supposedly good friend Jimmy Carter used to be the president? Did you know he's against Israel? And he claims to be a Bible scholar. How in the world can that man turn against God's people? But he's doing it. Well, Jesus warned, flee from the wrath to come. Run, hide. God's wrath abides on those who reject Christ. And I read in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Listen to that. He who believes in the Son has an eternal life. When? The minute you turn from your sins. The minute you recognize that you're a lost sinner, hell-bound, hell-deserving, and that you realize that God stands with outstretched arms today and say, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you a rest. That's exactly what he wants to do with you tonight. If you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you, that's what he's saying. But the wrath of God abides on him. Well, God has not hidden his wrath. It's all through the Scriptures. The Bible said his wrath was revealed in the flood. Well, you know what happened. Now, he found a righteous man, Noah. And he said, Noah, I've got a problem. Since I developed this earth and great men have went astray, they'd never seen rain in the land up until this time. And so for 100 and some years, Noah went out and preached Jesus. He told them to prepare to meet that God. Well, Jesus was in advance, but they were talking about how to get to heaven. Well, you know what those people said? They went back and they said, ha, you don't really believe that, do you? Well, so they go back to the religious leaders and they say, this crazy nitwit out there, he's out there just a-sweating and a-stewing, building this goofy-looking thing. I don't know what it is. He said it's an ark. I don't know what it is. And he's out there working day and night, his whole family. Now, is there anything to that? And they said, of course not. What do you think the lost religious leaders are telling you today? Just come join a church. That's all you got to do to get to heaven. Or get baptized, that's all you got to do to get to heaven, or take the Lord's Supper, or on and on and on. You can't get to heaven except you've been born again. I don't care who you are. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how poor you are. His wrath was revealed in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story. Well, and there was nobody in there that cared. Oh, listen, friends, I'm afraid we're looking at a Sodom and Gomorrah in our great nation. Hey, I want you to know, please believe me, I believe in our country. Oh, I believe in our flag. We got the greatest land in the world, but it's going to pieces. You and I don't have the freedom we once had. We fought for that freedom. I have 4 years in the Navy. I fought for that freedom, but we're losing it. You GIs, there are many World War II veterans, well, there's a few left, and they know it's true. They fought their hearts out. But what happened? Now they're tearing all of that down. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And we're seeing that right today. Oh, yes, we are. God has not hidden his wrath. His wrath was revealed in the flood, and his wrath was revealed in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's wrath was revealed against the nations. Now, against Israel in sin at Sinai, Exodus 32:10. Now let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. I will make of you a great nation. Well, now we know that Israel is a nation now. We know that they've come back by the thousands. Now God's wrath was revealed at the cross. Oh, yes, it was. And you know something else? Jesus took our place to save us from that wrath. Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Now, friends, you've heard me complain about this, and I'm going to keep complaining too. I sure am. I'm complaining that they're taking our hymn books out of our churches, and they're putting ditties in there. They call it praise worshiping. It's no more praise than me jumping off a bridge. I'm telling you, get back in your hymn books that talks about the blood, talks about victory in Jesus. Oh, they're so, and what a friend we have in Jesus, and on and on and on. We have to hear that. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You see, well, Cecil, you nothing but an old fuddy-duddy. You know, we got to get these young people in. Well, these young people need Jesus. They don't need those hymns that don't talk about Jesus either. See, we're making a bunch of liberal young people. We think just because a guy goes to college or Yale or Harvard that they're the smartest thing in the world. Most of them are stupid. And I'm not saying that to be unkind, but they are. It says here, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, my friends, I'll never forget the first time I ever heard that. It made me sick because I was a baby Christian and I sure didn't understand. Now, here Jesus was, sinless, without sin. And now he becomes sin. Your sins and mine. I want to include mine in there because my sins were there. And I thought, why in the world, if Jesus had to go to the cross and die for me, why did God turn his head on him? Well, I told you before. Because God cannot look at sin. He cannot. He's a righteous, holy God. So he had to look on. He had to look away from Jesus because now Jesus was sin, though he'd never sinned. My stars in the morning. The wrath of God is reserved. That's right. Oh, friends. But you know what? A day of wrath is coming. And I want you to know it's coming quicker than people think. Well, God will show his wrath against the tribulation period. You read the 14th chapter of Revelation, and you see what it says there. He will show his wrath in the seven last plagues. Don't understand it all. Don't have to understand it, but it's there. He will show his wrath in the pouring out of the seven vials. Don't consider it. Don't say I understand all that either, but it's true. And he will show his wrath in the judgment of the great white throne. Now, a lot of people think the great white throne is where Christians are going to go. No, they're not. There'll be no Christians at the great white throne, just the nations and the godless men and women who rejected Jesus Christ as Savior are going to be there. And this guy's going to walk up to God and say, "Well, look, you know, I prophesied your name and I spoke in tongues and I also healed a bunch of people." And you know what Jesus is going to say? "Be gone, ye cursed workers of iniquity. I never knew you." No, he never did know them. No. Well, did you ever hear about the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, preached by Jonathan Edwards? Well, listen, Edwards preached, wakened his church, and launched one of the greatest spiritual awakening in America and in England and all over the world. Do we need more preachers preaching on God's wrath? Boy, I sure hope we don't. A prophet cried for mercy in the days of wrath, and I read in Zephaniah 2:1-3, "Gather yourself together, ye gather, O nations, without shame, before the decree takes effect. The day passes like the chaff before the burning anger of the Lord comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have carried out his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Flee now to Christ and escape the wrath to come. Jesus will receive you just as you are." Did you know that? Oh, friends, listen. I tell the men in prison, look, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:1, "He that is oft reproved hardeneth his neck, shall be destroyed and suddenly without remedy." Friends, I could tell you, I could got 100 people I can tell you about that I dealt with before they died a terrible death, because they rejected Christ for the last time. You say, "Cesar, are you trying to scare me into heaven?" Absolutely not. No, I'm not trying to scare you into heaven. Can't do that. But I tell you what I am. I'm trying to make you think. The Holy Spirit of God talks about the wrath of God. He talks about the love of God. But the wrath of God is bad. You know, when God calls you a fool, you're in a whole lot of trouble. Oh, yes, you are. You say, "Well, Cesar, look, let me tell you what. I've tried to live my life right. I don't cheat people, and I'm honest, and I pay my bills, and do this, and I do that." All right, and that's good, and I commend you for it. But it won't get you into heaven. No, 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 it won't. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again." Now you say, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, let me ask you this. Why are you here? Because you were born of flesh. Your mother and dad brought you into this world. Okay. Now, God said, "That's fine. That's good." But he said, "It's not enough. You must be born twice or born again." Well, first of all, Nicodemus was puzzled. He said, "Well, how in the world can that be? I'm an old man. You mean I can enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you are ruler of the Jews and you don't understand that." He said, "The wind blows. You can't see it. You don't know what way it's coming, but I'll tell you what you can know. You can see the results of that wind by bushes blowing or trees blowing. So it is with the Spirit of God." Now, you can't see the Spirit of God. You can't see him. But he's there. Right now, you can't see the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you what he's doing if you're lost. He's knocking at your heart. Oh, yes, he is. Now, let me see. Cecil, I've been a Christian for eon years. And you know what? I don't feel right tonight. I don't feel I'm doing the right thing. All right. Now, you say you might have made a mistake. You might have sinned. You might have done something wrong. But let me tell you what. I want you to know that you don't lose your salvation if you make a mistake. No, you don't. Now, when your child makes a mistake and does something wrong, you may get awful irritated at him, but he's still your child, and you're still his daddy. Well, the Father in heaven right now is looking down here and he's saying, oh, Cecil, look at those poor people. One old man over there sitting there and tears streaming down his eyes, or this young teenager is weeping because, why? Because of their sinful life. And you know you're not born again. Now, you're the only one that can say that. I can't get you born again. Your mama can't get you born again. Your pastor can't get you born again. Only the Holy Spirit, as he tugs at your heart, as you turn your life over to him and surrender your life to him and let him wash your sins in the precious blood of Jesus. And then and only then will you know what it is to say, I know God loves me. And the Bible said the Spirit of God will reveal to you that truth that you've been born again. All right, listen. Right now, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray for that backslider tonight. You said in the Old Testament, woe unto you backsliders, for you are married unto me. Now, Lord, we all make mistakes. So for that man or that woman or that child tonight who feels left out in the back burner, that tonight they would surrender and they would say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. And then you will forgive them because you said you would. If we confess our sins to you, you're faithful and just to forgive all our sins. Friend, if you're a lost man or woman or child tonight, you know the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart. You feel like this might be your last opportunity, which it well could be. Would you like to bow your head right now and trust him? If you don't, and listen, don't you pray this unless you mean it. Here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, I confess tonight that I'm a lost sinner. I'm so sorry, Lord, for my sins and for all the things I've did to you and to my loved ones. And tonight, right now, without knowing too much, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to do me a favor. Get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Something.
Well, friends, for the past half an hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. All precious friends, thank you for praying for me and my wife and our prison ministries. I finally had to give up my ministry down at the rescue mission, and oh, I hated to do that. But friends, there's no way I can get up those steep stairs and get into the mission. And even with my scooter, I can't get up there. So anyway, I got a call from the chaplain yesterday. He said there's an inmate who wants to see me. I don't know if it's a woman or a man, but anyway, you pray that I'll be a blessing and be able to introduce him to Christ. Well, friends, keep praying for us. Keep looking up. Listen, Jesus is coming back one of these days and might not be as far off as you think. But I want you to stay sweet. Be good to your neighbors. Oh, keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.